How much better is the Miami Hurricanes football roster really heading into 2023?
You are Locked On Canes, your daily podcast on the Miami Hurricanes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Alex Dono, University of Miami alumnus, longtime South Florida sports radio vet, and contributor to allhurricanes.com. And thank you so much to the Everydayers for making Locked On Canes your first listen each and every day. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. So I can remember before last season, before that catastrophic 5-7 season of 2022, there was one angel on my shoulder who was telling me, Dono, this roster isn't really that good. And I'm like, 9 wins, 10 wins. I should have listened to the angel on my shoulder instead of the devil on my shoulder. The angel on my shoulder heading into last year was this man, Larry Bluestein, South Florida high school sports guru and recruiting aficionado. Blue is with us. And Blue, you were one of those people last year that was telling me, hey, that roster is not very deep. And I unfortunately did not heed your advice. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it. Summer's here. We went through a pretty quick but very productive spring in the state of Florida, where we had a lot going on. And unfortunately, last week, the weather took a toll. But, we come into June ready to go. College camps now officially underway. And for the next 30 days, that's where we'll be. And I'm sure that we'll have a lot of good stories for you.
Yeah. And okay, so Blue, let's get into this roster, because you were telling me last year that, hey, this roster is not all that good. So the $1 trillion question would be, how much better do you think the roster is heading into this coming season? Because it didn't pass the smell test for you last year. Right. What about this year?
Well, you know what? I've been following this team, since I was a kid back in the 60s. And the one thing that I saw last year, especially when Van Dyke got hurt and you had a few other key injuries, and I kind of looked at every team back through like 66, 65, and I don't ever remember a more incomplete roster ever. I mean, I said to myself, wow, I mean, this is not what it's supposed to be like. And, so obviously changes had to be made, and you were at all the press conferences. You heard Mario Cristobal after the games and after losing to Middle Tennessee State. And you could see on his face, how just because he's such a winner. And you think to yourself, you know what? He was dealt a bad hand because he didn't have a good roster. So I know he takes everything to heart, but the thing is this year during spring, we were up in Palm Beach Gardens, and I was talking to Alex Mirabal, who I've known for a while. And I said, you know what? What a difference a year makes. Last year at this time, you look at the roster and you say to yourself, I know there were a lot of hopefuls. I know there's a lot of guys like yourself who love and drink the Kool-Aid, you should. Because you're a grad and you're a fan to the core. But in reality, it wasn't surprising Miami only won 5 games. The roster was horrible. But you flash forward 1 year, and like I said to Coach Mirabal, I said, what a difference a year makes. Look at the roster you have now. Look at the new faces. And, that's the difference. They went and did a complete 180. Look at it now. You could look and see at different positions how the rosters change. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids don't make a difference, but 24 new faces make a difference.
Yeah, and I look at, to me, Blue, the areas I believe that have improved most, and if I leave anything out here, feel free to jump in, because nobody knows this roster better than you. But offensive line, you were able to, in the transfer portal, you added Javion Cohen, who, by the way, is the top-rated transfer offensive lineman in the country and the top-rated transfer Miami added. Matt Lee is like right there nipping at his heels for being another impactful offensive lineman Miami added. They also added freshmen who can play right away there, especially CeCe Maui-Goa. Wide receiver, of course, you added Shamar Kirk and Tyler Harrell. I think both of them can, you know, compete for a starting job somewhere and be heavy parts of the rotation. I also like Ray Joseph and Robbie Washington. Miami added as freshmen. They didn't lose a lot at the receiver position. I think running back, low-key, big-time improvement, Blue, to add a guy like A.J. Allen, who I think is going to be a huge part of that rotation coming up this year. And then I think at some point, Mark Fletcher is going to be ready to dominate, and Chris Johnson is a weapon. Cornerback is another big one, Blue. They've already added four transfer cornerbacks, and Miami is still taking visits from corners in the transfer portal and JUCO corners. Right. So they're not done there. So I look at areas like those, corner, running back, receiver, offensive line, as being some of the most improved on this team, and those spots can make a big difference to me.
Without question. I mean, you could basically look anywhere on the roster, both sides of the ball, and see improvement. And, you know, here's a like we mentioned on our roundtable discussion the other day, you could look at linebacker, the linebacker position. And I think that's a place that all of a sudden Wesley Bissaint and then the kid Francisco Maui-Goa, the brother of the major, major force at offensive line as a freshman, already have pushed your leading tackler the past 2 years in Corey Flagg to a backup role. So that shows you the impact there. You had mentioned the secondary, all these new guys coming in, plus the productivity during the spring, you know, of a guy like Darryl Porter Jr., who I thought, yeah. And I told his dad, I saw his dad yesterday out at American Heritage, and I told him, I said, listen, your kid had as good a spring at that corner position as anybody. And that was a position of need because you already have James Williams. You already have one of the best safeties in the country in Cam Kitchens. So you had to shore up that defensive secondary, and like you alluded to, they did on the defensive line. I mean, you guys who really have not, we haven't taken the wrapper off of yet, like Nigelie Kelly. Yeah. I mean, this is a kid that's a big time kid. You know, you look at the impact that Reuben Bain made during the spring and just already on defense, you know, which was probably the worst defense in the ACC last year, letting up 40 plus points seven times. What a difference. Now, we already know that at quarterback position, it's kind of a fragile situation because we all know that if Tyler Van Dyke goes down, they're, you know, the drop-off right now, and it might not be that way next year or the year after, but the drop-off right now is just monumental. I mean, because here's a guy with a lot of experience. We saw what he could do when he was healthy, and he had limited people around him. Now, you, as you alluded to, you give him a new offensive line. Really, virtually, it's a new offensive line. Coach Mirabal says that Matt Lee may be one of the best. Now, remember, he had Penei Sewell, one of the best technical linemen he's ever had. And you add him to Javion Cohen, like you said. And then you got kids who are coming back from last year and then some new faces, and you got a little depth. You know, you had Tommy Kinsler, who they really like a lot, and Lawrence Seymour, who are guys, Jalen Rivers to that mix. And then right now the jury may be out on the wide receiver and the tight end position because of the fact that your top tight end, you know, from a year ago, Elijah Arroyo was hurt. So, and you lose Will Mallory, but you come back with a lot of potential. And that's what I like. I mean, you have a kid like Cam McCormick, who's have has a lot of experience under
8 years
under his belt. And, you know, you have some guys who are potential guys, you know, that are going to come in. Jaleel Skinner, who we saw a little bit of, obviously, and then a ton of kids who are, you know, young and you know, and impressive, but we haven't taken the wrapper off of them. And then wide receiver. It's a position of need because of the fact that you're one of your top playmakers. He may not be your best receiver, but Xavier Restrepo was your top playmaker. They didn't have options last year. They, you know, obviously Kobe Young made some major strides, but he really hasn't really, you know, reached his potential. So the names that I've mentioned, and then you add somebody of experience like Frank Ladson, and, you know, the kid Isaiah Horton's coming on. But already, if you and I had this discussion on June 1st of 2022, it wouldn't be like this.
Yeah,
they didn't have this potential. They didn't have the options. They didn't have the depth.
You know, and I want to ask Blue, we'll follow up here on how much of a win-loss improvement could come from this improved roster. Plus, when Larry Bluestein is with us, you know we're going to talk some recruiting. Folks, some of the names we're going to be talking about on this episode: five-star edge rusher Dylan Stewart, four-star wide receiver Draylon Miller. All these guys are visiting this month, by the way. Four-star tight end Amir Jackson just added a Miami visit, an unofficial visit. He's actually on campus today. We have to talk about four-star running back Jarrett Gibson. We have so much to talk about. We're only getting started right here on this episode of Locked On Canes. Guys, make a fast break to FanDuel during these NBA finals. The finals are starting tonight. Right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500. I don't know. For some reason, when I say it, $2,500, it sounds like a completely different number. $2,500, $2,500. That's back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So if you lose your first bet up to $2,500, you really have nothing to lose because you get that back in bonus bets. So our Miami Heat tonight, game one of the NBA Finals, 9-point underdogs. So you know what I'm going to do. They've been underdogs all postseason long, and they've risen to the occasion. So Heat plus 9 is looking pretty, pretty, pretty good this evening. It's been good to us all postseason long. I love FanDuel because you get great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app, and you can get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. So visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. And to the everydayers, Friday's episode, we're going to be joined by the voice of the Miami Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki. That means we're going to talk football and we're going to talk baseball. Coral Gables Regional coming upon us. And, of course, Joe Z is going to be on the radio call and the ESPN Plus calls for that coming up this weekend. So Joe Z is going to join us on tomorrow's episode, the voice of the Miami Hurricanes. Larry Bluestein is with us today. And so, Blue, we talk about, you know, improvement, at least a little bit of improvement at pretty much every area on the field for Miami. We'll have to see about punter, because with punter, we go from one Aussie to a new Aussie. So I don't know if Dylan Joyce is going to be quite as good as Lou Hedley. Maybe he'll be better. We don't know. Okay. But for the most part, Miami's roster looks at least a little bit better in every area. So Blue, you know, we talked the other day on that roundtable on Hurricane Hotline about Athlon Sports predicting an 8-4 season for Miami, you know, from 5-7 to 8-4. How much of an improvement could you see from 1 year to the next when it comes to the win-loss record?
Well, I've maintained that Miami's improvement won't be reflective in their overall record. I feel that they're going to make some major strides, because you got to remember, I mean, you're going off a 5-7 season. Your schedule is competitive, obviously, off the bat. You have a couple of teams that, you know, Miami should take care of, but we all thought that last year of some of the opponents early. But I think, you know, I mean, 8 wins is, if they can get to 8 wins, you'd be really ecstatic, because what that does is that sets the table for the following year, where they're going to jump into that, have a chance to jump into the double digit wins. But, you know, I'm cautious, and you and I do this all the time. And, you know, we, how many times over the last couple of years have we been shooting out 10 and 11 wins? And so I'm going to be optimistic. You know, I mean, 8 wins, I can go for 8 wins. I think the reality that they could finish maybe 7-5. They got a tough stretch run. You know, they do have Clemson. They have Texas A&M. They have a Florida State team that's really, really good. And we saw that last year. The North Carolina game always is going to be tough. It's, you know, there's no breathers. Obviously, Bethune-Cookman's a little bit, you know, of a game that in Miami of Ohio, although you never know. But the last time Miami of Ohio played the University of Miami, I happened to have been there when it was 58-0. But
let's get some more of that then. How about that?
Yeah, yeah, I would like that. You know, I understand, you know, what the prediction. I mean, and it's nice. We're sitting here in June, and it's easy to say, you know, that they'll be 8-4. I take every, you know, what I've learned with the University of Miami to take each game one at a time, because last year we sat there and projected and go, well, we're going to take care of this team. We're going to take care of it. And we did. And that's so I'm a little cautious when I go into predictions. I think that you and I over the last couple of years when we gave them, I side with you. The day 2 days before the opening game of the season, I'll give you more.
That's
of a
what
realistic.
I'm going to do. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can't do it now because positions are way, way up in the air right now. There's a lot of positions for starting for backup. So I think by the end of August, we'll have a much, much better, you know, read, because there could be some of those incoming freshmen, like you said, that could grab some of the spotlight. And you could see the way Mario Cristobal coaches. It's, he doesn't care if you're 18 or 28. He's going to put the best guy on the field. And I like that, because not every coach is like that. A lot of coaches yield to seniors and leadership. Not me. I go to the production end of things. And a lot of the dudes that you know, we have mentioned that are coming in or that are here have a chance to make this team very, very special.
Let's talk about some prospects here with Larry Bluestein. I want to start with one of the top players in the entire country, Blue. I'm not sure where you have him ranked. He's an out-of-state kid. Five-star edge rusher Dylan Stewart, okay? He actually said this week, I was reading these comments this morning, that the two teams in the best position right now in his recruitment are South Carolina and Miami. It yeah. sounds like the Gamecocks might have an edge right now, but obviously before all the official visits, there's plenty of time for that to get sorted out. Miami's in striking range here for one of the best players, one of the best edge rushers in the entire country, Blue. So Dylan Stewart, he's from the Washington, D.C. area. How good is he in your opinion, and where do you think Miami stands with him?
Yeah, very solid. 6'5", about 235, 240 type of kid. Went to Friendship Collegiate Academy, as you mentioned, in the D.C. area. Comes off the ball, has great explosion, quick guy, long arms. Somebody who could be an asset right away. You know, I mean, and especially coming in and having an opportunity to work with Coach Jason Taylor, yeah. which is a huge plus. And we've said this over and over again. He's just not a figurehead. He just doesn't hang out. The man's recruiting, and you get a guy like that. And obviously you take a look at somebody like a Dylan Stewart. And this is a guy who, you know, I mean, it's not just Miami, and it's not just South Carolina that have been on him, but Georgia was on him from the beginning. And obviously when you have a championship pedigree team like Alabama and Ohio State, you got somebody special. I think he's, you know, I think that somebody that could probably sway him over would be a Jason Taylor. And can you imagine what his family, who, you know, I'm sure has watched Jason Taylor play, you know, you have the opportunity to not only be around somebody who knows the game and is a Hall of Famer, but somebody who is rolling up his sleeves and coaching as hard as anybody. And I think that could win it over.
And for Dylan Stewart, his official visit to Miami is going to be that loaded weekend of June 9th, which right. is just five stars and four stars all over campus that weekend. So he's going to be part of that weekend. And, you know, Blue, we mentioned Dylan Stewart from Washington, D.C. area. And if you look through all the players visiting Miami this month, there's a lot of guys from, you know, the Northeast, a lot of kids from Georgia, kids from Texas, kids from Southern California, like Aiden Breland. You've got, you know, kids from IMG Academy, who, of course, are from all over the country. You know, you don't see as many South Floridians as you might expect in looking at that list. Is this the most national you've seen Miami's recruiting in a long time when it comes to how wide of a net around the country they're casting? And if they rely maybe a little bit less on Dayden Broward than usual, is that a good thing, a bad thing? How do you see that playing out?
I think that's a lot of the fans complaining, because you go back to when Miami was successful, and you can go back a long, long way into the 80s. They had a real good mix. I mean, let's be honest and understand that Hall of Famers like Steve Hutchinson and Hall of Famers like Marvin Jones and players like that, they used to get away, and people didn't make a whole lot about it, because Miami – And to answer your question, if you remember when you were at the University of Miami, they had kids from Chicago. They had from New Jersey. You know, you look at Daniel Stubbs, and you look at, you know, Gino Toretta and guys like that. Miami's always been a pretty good national recruiting hotbed. You know, Vinny Testaverde. And then you look at, you know, like Rusty Medeiros and the Texas kids they have with Pegues, and, you know, going out to California to get DJ Williams, and, you know, on and on and on. So they've always been a program that kind of mixed things up. And I think that things haven't really changed. I mean, they got their core of South Florida kids. I mean, you know, I mean, this recent class, look how many they produced. You had, you know, the two brothers in Washington. You had Ray Ray. You had an opportunity, you know, to land a lot of good kids like Reuben Bain. So you can only get what you can get. You know, I mean, there's no need for Miami to take every quote unquote five star from South Florida when you could get them from all over the country. And that's what they've done. You look at their roster, and I was looking at it the other day. There's a lot of kids that aren't from here that are very productive. And yeah, you know, you have some, you know, guys that are from the state of Florida, but they've done well nationally. And now, because of the fact that you have Mario Cristobal, and a couple of his coaches who were at Oregon, you have a situation where they were used to those areas. So now they have some, you know, flags planted in the West Coast, in California, Nevada, and Arizona, and Oregon, and Washington, where they could always be in the hunt, because they all remember it's only been 2 years, you know, since they were all there. And then obviously, you know, with the addition of a Kevin Beard, and with, you know, Timmy Harris and coaches of that nature, you've got South Florida, you've got Central Florida, you got the entire state of Florida. And then with coaches like Adai and coaches like Jason Taylor, you've got that Northeast. So you're recruiting globally because of the fact that you've always done that. There's a lot of guys that are working hard, and you know, you look at Bubba McDowell, and, you know, who's in Houston, and a lot of these other guys who have landed back in Missouri or Ohio, that they're recruiting pretty good for the school as well. So, yeah, I don't think there's a problem with Miami the way that they're going about it. It's, if you look back 25, 30 years, I think that it's the same type of recruiting tactics. They may be a little bit more heavy West Coast now, and because you look at Mario Cristobal, and he was out there for a length of time and established himself.
Want to talk when we come back about one of the top receivers on Miami's board, one of the top running backs on Miami's board, and a pretty good tight end who happens to be unofficially visiting today. So you want to keep it locked right here. Larry Bluestein with me on Locked On Canes. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. And thank you so much to the Everydayers. If you want to take your Everydayer experience to the next level, join our exclusive SMS texting service through subtext. I'm including a link in the show description below. You get SMS texts right to your phone from my phone with recruiting updates, breaking Miami news, show notes and thoughts. I do one-on-ones with you guys on there. It's the best way to connect with the show. It's completely free for the first 14 days. And then if you like it, you want to opt in after that, $4.99 a month. We give you a lot of added value on there. So Blue, a wide receiver visiting Miami this weekend, weekend of June 2nd. So he's going to be on campus tomorrow through Sunday, is Draylon Miller. I'm feeling better and better about Miami's opportunities to land this four-star wide receiver, 6'2", 198 pounds. So he is visiting Miami this weekend, USC later this month. He plans to commit apparently in the month of June. So he wants to offer his verbal commitment pretty quickly. That makes me feel even better about Miami's chances here. What can you tell me about this player, who I will mention to you the same thing I mentioned to Brian Smith yesterday? Our guy Judd Anderson likes this dude a lot. I think that's a guy he wants to throw to.
Yeah. Well, obviously, this is a kid, you know, that has a lot of athletic ability. You know, he's a good size guy at 6'2", 190 pounds. There's a lot of schools, and you say the big time schools that were in on him, playmaker. You know, just a guy that, like you said, you know, I mean, with Anderson wanting to throw to him, I mean, he has separation, you know, watching this film before. I mean, yeah, the competition may not be, you know, as well as it is in some areas, but I'll tell you what, the kid knows how to get open, uses his hands extremely well, catches in traffic, physical type of guy, has the size. And you know what? You just watch somebody like that and you say, you know what? He can make the transition. He could play, because you know what? He's willing to work and he looks like a worker. But just watching him on film, the kid looks like he could be really special.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Now, Miami actually has a four-star tight end visiting unofficially today. He does have a Miami OV locked in September 9th. He's going to be here for the Texas A&M game. So that's going to be hopefully a good one for him to go to. We'll see how the game actually plays out. Now, Amir Jackson is the player, four-star tight end. He's out of a town called Portal, Georgia. So he's not in the transfer portal. He lives in Portal. So he's a high school player, class of 2024, from Portal, Georgia. 6'5", 210 pounds. Now, on Amir Jackson, this is a player the Gators have been all over, Blue. He's, if you go by the on three trends, he's very strongly been trending to Florida, with Miami, Alabama, and Georgia also in the mix, but supposedly on the outside looking in. So this is a player, Blue, that Miami, and they're after a lot of tight ends in this cycle. You know, Kylan Fox, KJ Duff, Odom, can't remember his first name, Mr. Odom out of Georgia. They're after, so they're casting a pretty wide net with tight ends. What can you tell me about this one?
Extremely athletic basketball guy, at average over 15 points a game. He's now up to about 225, 230. So he's gained a lot. Just an outstanding, you know, athlete, from the fact that, you know, his skill on the basketball court has helped him translate into being a better, you know, prospect as a tight end. He has great hands. He works extremely hard. He bodies up on a lot of people. He's worked, like I said, he's added 15 pounds in the weight room, just getting bigger and stronger. And like you said, you know, Florida's been on him for about 8 months, you know. I mean, they've been on him for a long, long time. I know that Coach Napier's staff, and the proximity to Gainesville also helps Florida sometimes, because you get kids from Georgia and, you know, it takes us almost 6 hours to get out of the state of Florida, 6 hours from Gainesville, and you could be up into the South Carolina. So, and North Carolina. So that's what I'm saying. So they've been in it from the beginning. They could sell a lot as well. But I think the fact that Miami has tight ends on board, you know, in the competition, I mean, it's going to be a great room, you know, to be a part of. And I know that early on, Alabama was on him. You know, they've kind of backed off as well. And Auburn, A&M, Florida State. So he's getting a lot of attention for good reason, because he's a dynamic athlete, and I like that. I like guys who, you know, have played other sports. You look at some of these kids who have wrestled, you know, in the past, and then they come in and they, you know, they just have that certain dog in them. And then you get an opportunity to watch them on the football field. And, you know, it's easy to coach an athlete up. You know, I mean, a lot easier than just to take a guy who is just one dimensional. He's got some potential. And I think that Miami's would love to have him come as part of this next class.
Now, here's another player I know Miami would love to have. He's one of the top running backs in the class of 2024. And I know Blues watched him play up close and personal at IMG Academy. High-rated four-star running back Jarrett Gibson. He's going to be in that star-studded June 9th official visit weekend. The Texas Longhorns have long been favored for him, Blue. Miami seems to be the biggest threat to Texas, if I'm not mistaken, but they're still probably behind Texas. How do you think a player like this and Jarrett Gibson could fit in Shannon Dawson's offense?
Really well. I mean, this is a kid that as far back as his sophomore year was a head turner. He's we have him ranked in the top five at number five in our state of Florida preseason poll in the 2024 class, you know, right there next to Charles Lester and Ellis Robinson and David Stone and Jeremiah Smith, guys like that. And, you know, right in that, I mean, he's right now in this class of running backs in the state of Florida. You have him, Stacy Gage from St. Thomas Aquinas, who's really, really good. Jordan Lyle, who committed to Ohio State from St. Thomas as well. Guys like that who have made an opera, you know, but Jarek is a big time kid. He goes up against that competition every day in practice, but he's also a benefit. He also benefits in the fact that that line opens things up. He has great receivers, has quarterback, but well, I'll tell you what, he would just, the stable that Miami could be building in that running back room, as you mentioned with Mark Fletcher, you know, being a and the kid Citizen, who we really haven't even seen yet.
I know.
So, yeah, I think he's a big time kid. Like I said, I wouldn't have ranked him so high, but I watched him. There's a lot of people that haven't watched him play. They'll just pop in some film and but I've stood like 6 feet from him and, you know, watched him play, watched what he does, breaking tackles, just the type of back he is. When his number isn't called, he's willing to sacrifice and block, which is something that people don't watch. When you see game film, all you're going to do is see him in action. You're not going to see what he does away from the ball. And that's one thing why I preach, and been preaching forever, decades and decades. You're going to fully evaluate a player, be there. You know, I mean, anybody can pop in a film and say, oh, this kid looks good, but you know, there's more to it. There's a lot more to it. And that's where I told you that watching DJ Ivy, that you could tell he was more than just a football player, a great teammate, you know, always looking to help the, you know, his teammates out. And that's what you find about somebody like a Gibson. You know, he's a team player. He's got great talent individually, but he's a team player.
I love it. And Larry Bluestein is a team player. We can't thank him enough for always taking the time with us. You want to follow this man on Twitter, at Larry Bluestein. When's the next South Florida High School sports show going to be? We looking at Monday this week on QAM?
I think we're on Monday, I think, as a lead into the Panthers, I believe, on Monday night. But we, you know what? It's only one more week that we've been doing the 1 hour shows. But they've been productive, and certainly come the second week of June, we'll be on for the entire month of June and July and August on Monday nights, you know, and we're looking forward to it. And, you know, I mean, it's a great avenue for us to get college coaches, to get high school players on, and recruits. And that's what we do. We get a lot of university. Every week we have a University of Miami segment, whether it's a player or a coach, we have a University of Miami segment. So we're excited.
It really is an excellent show. If you guys are into this kind of material, you're going to love Blue's show if you haven't heard it already. So thank you so much to Larry Bluestein. Thanks to everyone who tunes in each and every day. Remember, for the everydayers, we got Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes, coming on tomorrow to talk some football and some baseball with us. So we will talk to you next time on another episode of Locked On Canes, part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.